Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
I like to take charge, people. Hey, if you're a guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm lead pastor here. So kind. And, okay, there we go. I was trying to decide if I was going to tell them that the screen up there wasn't working. That was why I paused, but now it's working, so I have to tell them. But I had to explain to you why I paused. You thought I forgot what I was going to say. I did not. I was petrified that I wasn't going to have a screen to look at the whole time. Mainly because my clock is up there. You want that clock. That clock's for you. Hey, so if you are a guest, thank you so much for joining us today. We're in the middle of a series called Moving On. And we're learning to heal. We're learning God's path for healing from the hurts in our life. And it was funny, I was just thinking about that phrase, moving on, and I can't believe it's like the end of April already. It's wild. Maybe it's a little more pressure for us because I've got a senior this year. We can't talk about it. Just move on. I've got a senior this year. But it made me think about Danielle and I. We started a tradition. It was probably 12 years ago. It was probably when David started school. We started this tradition where in June of every year, once everything was done, she and I would get away from the children. and everybody, she calls it our end of the road trip, because you know it's been a crazy season at work. We got through a school season. Now our kids play sports, and so every June we'll just go away for like a week, 10 days, and just kind of breathe and relax. And one of those trips, I think it was maybe the second or third we'd ever done, we were going to go to the West Coast. We'd never spent any time on the West Coast. And this is a weird thing about me. I love planning trips. It's actually relaxing to me, so I love to plan a trip. And it's me and her, and so I love to plan a trip that she's going to enjoy. And so we know we're going to the West Coast. We're going to fly into San Francisco, maybe spend a day or two there, maybe go up the coast, spend some time in the Napa area. And so I'd ask her, like, hey, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And she kept coming up with this one thing that she said she wanted to do. Now I'll pause for a minute. Hey, husbands, look up here for just a minute. Maybe you're not like this, but do you ever have your wife like tell you something in your head? You know, you don't mean that. Okay, you do. Good. So she kept saying she wanted to go to, I'll just tell you, she kept saying she wanted to visit Alcatraz, like the prison, Alcatraz. And in my head, I was like, you don't mean that. You don't mean that. And then I think one time I actually sat her down and like tried to mansplain to her why she didn't want to go to, you know, the men didn't laugh. The women all laughed at that. And so finally I was like, why do you want to go to Alcatraz? And she was like, well, because one of my favorite movies is about Alcatraz. And I was like, who did I marry? I was like, what are you talking about? And there was this movie, Clint Eastwood movie, it's called Escape from Alcatraz. And spoiler alert, in it, they escape from Alcatraz. And she said she had watched that movie as a kid and she loved it. And I was like, that's weird. But anyway, we watched the movie together, and she loved it. And so then on our trip, we took the ferry out, and we visited Alcatraz, and we had a lovely day at Alcatraz, a sentence I never thought I'd say out loud. Here's the interesting thing about Alcatraz. They've sort of owned the fact that there was a movie made about them, and they've owned the fact that people escape, which is a weird thing to own if you're a prison. But I guess they used to be a prison. They're not a prison anymore. And so on the tour, they show you the cells where the men were. They show you how they escaped. Like, it's a really big part of the tour. And so, you know, we learned all about it. We got to see it, and it was crazy. Now, I'll tell you all that because I was thinking about that this week as I was, praying about this series and how to kind of intro our conversation for today. Because, as I said, pretty much the entire time you're on the island of this prison, they're pointing out how the men escaped. I mean, they're showing you every little piece that aided in their escape. And you could ask questions. People are asking questions about how do they escape? How do they get out? How do they get out? And it occurred to me that while every question was about how, Not one person. The movie doesn't cover this. The tour guides didn't cover this. Not one person even thought to raise their hand and ask, excuse me, I get how, but why did they want to escape? Like, no one thought to ask that question. Because we all inherently know why you would want to escape from prison. Because it's prison. Now, if you ever did anything that got you put in prison, hopefully you would not try to break another law and break out of prison. But if anyone were to ever come to you and say, hey, things have been changed, you can go free today. You're set free. Is anybody looking at me going, I think I'm good. Nah, I think, man, I'm getting used to it. We got softball later. Nah, I'd rather stay in prison. No. Of course, no. No one would do that. We understand physically that being in a prison is limiting. It holds us back. It literally robs us of our freedom. And so we would never dream of staying in a physical prison 1 second longer than we have to. What is so clear in the physical world can be so lost on us when it comes to emotional prisons. Because if you were here last week, when we started this series, you may remember I taught the entire service in handcuffs. And it hurt. But I did it to illustrate what we look like, what we go through when we refuse to embrace God's plan for setting ourselves free from the consequences of sin and other people's choices. In fact, if you weren't here last week, I'm going to encourage you, if you don't have it already, grab our app. It's a great way to stay connected with us, but you can go back and you can see what we talked about last week because ultimately this series is about forgiveness. Forgiveness is God's plan and God's path to healing from the hurts in our life. And I know that just seems like this foreign concept, and that's why we're taking so much time to explain it. But last week I taught in handcuffs to visualize what happens when we refuse to embrace forgiveness, when we live in unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, like those handcuffs, like a prison, it limits our range of motion. And not only that, unforgiveness limits our capacity to interact with others. And we talked about this last week. It's because when we hold on to the pain from the past, we project that pain onto other people because we're afraid they're going to do the same thing someone else did. It's why if an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend hurt you, if you're still holding on to that, you assume every new person is going to hurt you as well. Now, you don't know if it's true or not, but it's because you're still trapped. We live trapped by what they do, because ultimately what unforgiveness does is it makes us the prisoner. It makes us the prisoner to their bad choices. It makes us the prisoner to their bad actions. And I know some of you are like, man, are you sure? Yes. But this doesn't quite make sense. Right, because we're at the beginning of the sermon. But I promise by the end of this week and next week, I told you it's a 3-week series. I believe not only is God going to make this crystal clear to your heart, I believe he's going to show you a path and a process. Because he makes a promise that we can live free of the consequences of what other people do to us. And that begins with embracing forgiveness. That's why last week, what we really talked about was God's ultimate act of love for us, how he extended forgiveness to us. Because here's what God understands. Forgiveness must be experienced before it can be extended. And so for some of us today, maybe you don't consider yourself a Christian, and you're here just kind of checking things out. The concept of forgiving someone else feels maybe insane to you, and I get that. And part of that is because, what we talked about last week, is that we first have to embrace the amount of forgiveness that was extended to us. When our Heavenly Father took Every mistake, every sin we've ever committed, ever will commit, the punishment we deserved was death. And instead of punishing us, he punished his son Jesus in our place so that he could forgive us. And we have to not only experience that, I believe we have to have an active, growing, healthy relationship with Jesus before we can ever consider, before we can ever begin trying to heal and forgive the people that have caused the pain in our life. But I know for many of us today, you do consider yourselves Christians, and you have experienced that. Even if you haven't considered yourself a Christian, if you aren't sure you believe in Jesus, I still hope you'll lean in today, because I want you to see what Jesus promises to you when you do choose to place your faith in him. Because it has to be experienced before it can be extended. But here's where we're going to pick up today. Forgiveness must be extended once it's experienced. And we're going to clean that up a little bit. We're going to make it simpler for the next 2 weeks. Here's what I'm really saying. Forgiven people forgive people. If you've been forgiven, if you've received that forgiveness of Jesus, we forgive other people. And next week, we're going to answer one of two main questions about this issue. Next week, we're going to answer how. How do we forgive other people? And that's a great question. We're going to talk about it. But before we get there, I feel like what's really got to be cemented in our hearts, because I think there's so much misconception about forgiveness and what it means and what it doesn't mean. Before we can get the how today, I want us to answer why. Why is forgiveness the path to healing from what someone else did to me? They lied. They betrayed. They cheated. They stole. They hit. They did it. Why on earth, after I've endured all that, would I also be asked to forgive? It's a great question. Sure, it's a question that you may be wrestling with, and we all wrestle with. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the answer, and then we're going to turn to God's word and understand what it means. But here's hopefully what I hope the Holy Spirit will begin to make clear in your heart and your mind today. Because there's only one reason, ultimately, that we forgive people that hurt us. And it's because forgiveness sets us be honest, you don't want to forgive because you think you're letting them off the hook. I get it. But as we're going to see today, that's not what we forgive. Forgiveness isn't really about them. Forgiveness is for us. And you don't have to take my word for it, nor should you take my word for it. What I want to do is we're going to turn to the Bible, we're going to turn to the New Testament. Specifically, we're going to turn to a letter from a man named Paul. If you attend our church regularly, we talk about Paul a ton. Paul wrote about half of the New Testament. He was a missionary. And once a church was started, he'd write letters to that church, giving them further instructions. And what we as Christians believe is that God's Holy Spirit was speaking through Paul's pen when he wrote, which means thousands of years later on the other side of the planet, we can read those letters, and it's like God is speaking directly to us. And in his letter to the church at Ephesus, specifically chapter 4, it's just two verses today. Paul very clearly speaks to the need for forgiven people to forgive people. And here's what he says. This is an instruction to the Ephesians, but through the Ephesians to all Christians, to all people who claim to follow Jesus. And he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, I highlighted the word all there, because this is a strong statement Paul's making, and I want us to really sit in the gravity of what he's saying. He's not leaving any gray. He's not leaving any wiggle room. He's telling those of us who consider ourselves Christians, if you have any ill will towards anyone for any reason, get rid of it. How? Forgive them. And if you're like me, you kind of want to push back, right? You kind of want to say, well, Paul, I get it. And I'm sure for other people, that's a good idea. And I understand. But see, you don't know what happened to me. You don't know what they did to me. But if you did, you understand, I can't do that. I can't forgive. Look, here's what I'll say to you, and I want you to hear my heart. If that's how you feel, I want you to know, and I mean this. I'm convinced that if I had lived your life, and if I had experienced what you had experienced, I would feel exactly the same way. I believe that. But here's the good news. Ultimately, what God has for us is bigger and better and even more powerful than our feelings. Our feelings are valuable, they help, but oftentimes God speaks to them and he encourages us to step through them in faith towards his purpose. And we can clearly see through his purpose, God is saying through Paul that forgiven people forgive people. And we want to say, why? Why should we do that? And on the face of it, here's an answer. And before I say it, I know some of you aren't going to like it, and that's okay. We're going to talk about it. But why do forgiven people forgive people? Because God says so. We'll let that sit for a minute. See, Paul wasn't speaking on his own authority. He was speaking on behalf of the God of the universe. And the God of the universe just said, get rid of all those things, forgive. There is no wiggle room. There is no gray. Get rid of those emotions. And I know saying God says so for some people, man, that's just a trigger. And just stay with me for just a second. Look at my face. Listen to my voice. There was no finger wagging. I'm not saying God says so. Like, that's not the point. See, I think we're a people who don't like to be told what to do. I can't be the only one. And in our lives, when people look at us and say, do this, and we say, why? And they say, because I said so. I'm a parent, so I will admit this. 9 times out of 10, when I tell my kids, because I said so, it's because I don't really want to talk about it anymore. I'm ready to move on to other things. 1 out of 10 is because I can't really tell them the whole story because I know more than they do, okay? So I get because I said so, but I want us to step back for a minute because really the reason that we push back on God says so, I'm convinced, is because we have the wrong picture of God. So let me remind you who God is. God loved us so much that he sent his son to die in our place. The same God was so powerful that even after Jesus died, he brought him back to life. So we have an all-loving God. We have an all-powerful God. Oh, I forgot to tell you, he knows the future. And the only reason he's ever said anything to us about do this, don't do this, go this way, don't go that way, is because he loves us. and he wants the best for us. Every parent in the room understands this. You create boundaries and instructions and rules and limits for your children, not to punish them, not to ruin their lives, but because you're smarter than them and you love them. Same story as God, except God's perfect. So God never gives a selfish instruction. God never gives a harmful instruction. Every instruction he gives is perfect for us, which means when we hear God says so, I'm curious, what would happen in your life? This is even bigger than this series. What would happen in your life if your brain just began to trust that when you read God says so, anything, God says it, God commands it, God forbids it, if that just began to translate for, oh, he says it because, why? It's better for us. Period. I'm telling you, you can take that to the bank. You can build your life on it. If God says do it, it's better if you do it. If God says don't do it, it's better if you don't do it. Now, he gives grace and freedom and forgiveness, but at the end of the day, we have a perfect Father who wants to guide us into a life he's created us to live. And I'm not talking to him, I'm talking to me too. If I could just settle in my soul, well, God says it, so that means it's better. My life would change. And I bet yours would too. I don't know, some of you, you're like, okay, God says so, that means it's better. Explain to me then how forgiving that person, how letting them off the hook for what they did to me is better for me. I don't have to. Paul already did. Here's what he said. Remember? He said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you love you when you're bitter? When's the last time you woke up and went, oh, I can't wait to rage today. I'm going to pour out my anger and bitterness on all these people. It's going to be so fun. No. Bitterness is not a fun thing to experience. Rage is not a fun thing to experience. Anger is not a fun thing to experience. In fact, I will go so far as to say, those are not emotions your Heavenly Father ever intended for you to feel. Those are all consequences of sin, specifically people sinning against you. People behaving negatively towards you. Let's follow this. They make the bad choice. You live in bitterness. How does that possibly make sense? But it's what we do. And here's the crazy part. We hold on to the anger. We hold on to the bitterness because we somehow think it's affecting the person who hurt us. But it's not. You know who that bitterness and rage and anger hurts? The people we love. The people we live with. Our parents. Our kids. Our spouse. Our friends. Our coworkers. It never touches the person who's the root of the problem. One of my favorite quotes about forgiveness and unforgiveness, if you've ever heard me teach on this, I share this quote every time. We should probably print it outside and put it on a screen or something, because this quote comes from a lady named Anne Lamott. And here's how she talks about forgiveness and unforgiveness. She says, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. I'm going to let that sit for a minute. Because I want you to think about something. How long have you been waiting for the rat to die? Now, how many of you thought, that's the first thing you said true, Pastor? They are rats. Yeah, that's how you feel. And that bitterness and that rage and that anger that you've convinced yourself is somehow hurting them, it's only hurting you. Actually, I wish that were true. It's hurting you and the people you love. So why do forgiven people forgive people? It's because it's better for us. It's better than bitter. It's better than going through life continuing to be weighed down and, dare I say it, controlled by what they did. In fact, one of the reasons I think God is teaching this, and one of the reasons Paul's bringing this up in this, is because he had been in Ephesus, he had heard people talk, he knew what was going on, and he heard people continuing to talk about things that had happened over and over and over again. He could see the bitterness, he could see how it was affecting them, and it's like Paul wanted to just look him in the eye and say, hey, God wants better for you than this. He wants better than bitter. And by the way, why do you keep giving them power over you? See, that's the one thing you swore you'd never do again. You swore, I'll never let them hurt me again. I'll never let them have control over me again. But as long as we hold on to the bitterness, to the rage, to the anger, we're not in control. We're not free. We're still prisoners. And we're not even prisoners to our own choices. We're prisoners to someone else's choices, to someone else's sin. So why does God want us to forgive? Because it's time to stop letting them control your life. See, here's what forgiveness does. Forgiveness sets us free from the consequences of what they did. And it puts the consequences back where they belong. See, that's why we've been saying over and over again that forgiveness sets us free. They're the one who made the bad choice. They're the ones who should live in the consequences of it. But as long as we stay bitter, as long as we stay angry, as long as we feel like we have to get even, as long as we feel like we have to get back at them, we're the ones being controlled by it. But when we choose to forgive, the consequences go back where they belong. See, we confuse forgiveness. I said this last week. You can forgive someone and still press charges because that's putting the consequences back where they belong. If they broke the law, there are consequences on earth for that, and they're not your consequences. They're theirs. You can forgive someone and say, I forgive you, but I will no longer be in relationship with you because you broke my trust and you have no interest in repairing this trust. And so I forgive you. I don't feel anger towards you. I don't feel bitterness towards you. I don't want bad things to happen to you. My soul has been set free from that, but we will not be in relationship again. And this is true even if they share your last name. You have to forgive everyone. You do not have to be in relationship with everyone. If their actions break the relationship, that's their consequences. And it's their job to repair it. And sometimes they might. They might apologize. They might make amends. And you might feel led by the Holy Spirit to say, okay, I will re-engage in relationship. And that's completely up to you. That's a conversation driven by wisdom. But we'll never get there as long as we hold on to the rage, as long as we hold on to the bitterness. It's not helpful. But see, when we choose to forgive, we are set free from those consequences. And that's when our Heavenly Father can step in, and he can actually begin to heal those wounds. And this is the amazing part. Not only heal them. Do you know what he promises? He promises that he can use those bad actions and turn them into good results in our life. He can use them to grow our wisdom and our patience and our understanding. He can use them to grow our faith. That's the power of a God who can raise the dead. But it never happens until we understand why we should forgive people. That the forgiveness isn't about them. Forgiveness sets us free. Not only from the consequences, but from the control that they have over our lives. So I've got a question for you. And it's a question I hope you'll wrestle with. But before we do, I want to give you permission to do something, because some of you have been doing it the whole time. I want you to think of the person or the people that you probably need to forgive. It shouldn't take long. You've been thinking about them for 2 weeks, maybe longer. But once you knew we were doing a series on forgiveness, they've been on your mind, and you've been coming up with all the reasons why they don't deserve forgiveness and you shouldn't forgive them. It doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. You're not forgiving them for them. You're forgiving them for you. So I want you to think about these people. I want you to think about what they did. I want you to think about how it's impacting your life. Be honest with yourself. Just think about it for a minute. All right. We all there? You got a name? You got some people? Some of you are really looking forward. You don't want to look around right now, and I get it. Because you're like, I'm sitting beside them. And I understand that. Just look up here. Look up here. Here's a question. How much longer am I going to allow them to control my life? And this isn't a rhetorical question. If you need to, get out your phone. Get out your calendar. Pick a day. When would you like to get out of prison? Because you can. But you have to decide that it's worth it. So think about your life. How long am I going to allow them to impact the way I feel when I wake up every morning? How long am I going to allow them to control how I parent my children? Or how long am I going to allow them to control when I go out on dates? How long am I going to allow them to control when I meet a potential new business partner? How long am I going to allow them to have control over how I live my life every single day? Because the longer we hold on to rage and bitterness and anger and we refuse to forgive, the longer we are giving them control over our lives. And we find ourselves prisoners. And we're convinced that it's hurting them. And can I tell you something? Just, they don't know. And they probably don't care. You know how I know? If they did know and they did care, they'd have apologized by now. They've moved on. They're not even thinking about what they did. How much longer are you going to allow them to control your life? It's completely within our grasps. And it comes down to some simple things. It comes down to understanding that forgiven people forgive people. That begins with a relationship with Jesus. And look, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then we would be honored to talk to you about that today. You can stop by our next steps area. Because I'll tell you, you can't forgive other people until you've experienced his forgiveness. But once you've experienced it, he begins to work in your heart. He makes it possible for you to extend it. And next week, we're going to talk about how that happens. And as I've said for 2 weeks, I can't give you a step-by-step process because it doesn't work that way. I can give you some principles because I believe forgiveness is a miracle God does in our heart. And I can't give you the exact mechanics of a miracle. But there are principles we can follow to make ourselves available for God's Holy Spirit to work. But before we get there, spend this week. Think about those names. Think about what they did. And kind of marinate on the fact that, okay, if forgiven people forgive people. And when you ask why, be reminded not of my truth, not of Paul's truth, but of Jesus' truth. That forgiveness sets us free. Forgiveness sets us free from the consequences of sin. Period. Our own sin earned consequences. What was it? Death. But on the cross, Jesus took it. And when he came back to life, he was declaring, sin no longer has power over us. And that doesn't just mean our consequences. It means the consequences of people who sin against us. Now, it doesn't set them free from the consequences. They've got to deal with that. But God loves us too much to walk through life knowing one person's bad choice could derail us. He loves you too much for that. And he's given us a path. Forgive. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and harsh words. Why? Because it's better for you. So my prayer this week is that God will bring faces to mind, names to mind. And if you want to get ahead for next week, write them down. Write down the people. Write down what they did. And we'll use it next week. But more than that, for those on the fence, for those who still don't see the why, here's my prayer. My prayer is that God's Holy Spirit will open your eyes to how much their bad choices in the past are still impacting your present and affecting your future. Because I'm convinced once your eyes are open to what's actually happening, you'll embrace forgiveness. Because it's designed to set you free. So let God's Holy Spirit speak to you this week. And then come back next week. As we as a church family move on. As we lay down our hurt. We embrace God's healing. And we begin the journey of watching him miraculously turn bad to good. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you so much. Oh, Father, we're so grateful for your kindness and your patience and your mercy. We're thankful that you forgive us. We're thankful that you paid the price so we could be set free from the consequences of sin. And Father, when we embrace that for ourselves, may we extend it. May we learn that we don't have to suffer the consequences of other people's negative choices. May we learn to forgive so that we can walk in your wisdom. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.